And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, the founding president and CEO of the Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce, Ayanna Khan. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Before we began recording this morning, I mentioned that it's been about 2.5 years since we last spoke. And at that time, you had just founded the Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce. It was still a new baby, and a lot has happened since then. One, you've got a best of designation. Membership has been booming, and you've had quite a few accomplishments that we'll get into it. But for anyone who's not familiar with the organization, what is the Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce?
It's pretty simple. The Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce is a chamber of commerce that focuses on micro and small businesses with a focus on Black-owned businesses. So we're really here just to provide economic support and opportunity to the small business community that we serve and to ensure that the Delaware's landscape for small businesses is a steady flow of resources and for our members through relationships and partnerships.
Were there any organizations that really represented the interests of these small businesses and especially minority-owned businesses before?
No, we are the first of its kind here in the state of Delaware. We have 15 chambers here in the state, and we are the only chamber that focuses primarily on the interest of the minority population. It's been a population that's been overlooked for quite some time here in the state of Delaware. And minority small businesses, specifically Black-owned businesses, their challenges are unique, right? So we focus on those challenges, and we offer holistic support from anything from A to Z. It could be childcare, housing, healthcare, not just small business issues, but a whole gamut of things that affect the individual that's running the business.
I know that most chambers do have affinity programming and opportunities, but I've never heard one that goes as far as offering social services, more or less, support.
Yeah, because so the business owner, there's a lot. When you look at Black business owners, these are individuals that are possibly working a full-time job to sustain because they need health care. The business is probably not funding 100% of their lifestyle. So there are issues when it comes to that, healthcare, childcare, you know, housing. We have small business owners that are one contract away from losing housing, and we've had that experience within our membership. So it's a gamut of things. Some folks may say, hey, you're not a social service organization, but the small business owner needs a village to support and grow their business, and that includes all things holistically.
Do you have a lot of startups?
We do. We do have a lot of startups. This year to date, we have facilitated 14 ribbon cuttings, and we have 2 more on the calendar. So businesses are bouncing back, and more businesses are opening.
Did the pandemic actually spur more small businesses?
Yeah, so the pandemic did birth a lot of businesses because we were shut in, and folks were without income for their families, and they had to find a way to support their families. So they tapped in on their hobbies and their skills and their talents, and they created small businesses. However, we still also saw that over 41% of Black businesses had to permanently close their doors as well. So it was twofold.
When we talk about a small business, how do you usually define that?
Here at the Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce, for membership purposes, we identify a small business as anyone that has 10 or less employees.
But you could have a two-man shop, and it could actually be raking in some huge revenue.
Absolutely. I mean, with the federal government, they cite a small business as anyone that has 500 or less employees. I consider that to be more of a medium to larger business than a small business. So we based it off of the amount of employees. But yeah, there are entrepreneurs that are, you know, onesie twosies that are doing very well when it comes to revenue. So we don't classify the revenue as much to identify a small business.
And what kind of businesses are we looking at here? You mentioned that it could be somebody who had developed a hobby. It might not even be somebody who is in a skilled or technical position.
Yeah, so we have folks that are making skincare products, right? Cooking that stuff up right in their kitchen, because it's been a hobby or a passion for skincare, or they may have their own skincare issues. So they decided, okay, I'm going to start a small business that focuses on skincare for my skin type. You have folks that are, in the arts industry that are doing paintings, possibly handbags. It's a gamut of things that folks have tapped into to bring in that extra income.
What are the challenges that a Black or minority-owned business is facing in opportunities for contracts or for product placement?
So access to capital, right? Not having the resources or the capital to just even get that business off the floor. Typically in other demographics, there may be family members or other resources that individuals can tap into, whereas African Americans don't always have those privileges. So access to capital has been a hot topic. It hasn't always been easy systemically to go into a financial institution and secure a loan. So those are some of the challenges. Not having, the strong advocacy behind them for quite some time, and just the systemic barriers that are out there. So when it comes to our membership, we ensure that we advocate for equitable policies, whether it's, state or local, and address inclusivity for businesses and ensure and encourage and support corporations and others to do business and diversify their spend. And we do that through policy making and just partnering with other community organizations.
Well, advocacy is a major part of what you do, speaking on behalf of this piece of the economy there. But quantifying, even knowing and recognizing who is out there, that was a big piece of this too, to start.
Yes, absolutely. So, again, the pandemic just highlighted all these things, right, that we needed to tighten up on. So, the state of Delaware could not identify what demographics the businesses here, what demographic they belong to. We know we had over 70,000 businesses here in the state, but we didn't know. And early on, the height of the pandemic, I had gotten my hands on an SBA spreadsheet that showed on the list of all the small businesses in the state of Delaware that did get the PPP loan. Only 14 of those on the list were identified as African American, right? Because what was happening was that the SBA, the federal government, and just the other state agencies in the state of Delaware just were not collecting demographic data. So we did not know what that correct number was. We know it was low, however, but we know 14 was pretty low, right? Couldn't be accurate. So we advocated here in the state of Delaware for the collection of demographic data. So when you apply for a business license or you renew your business license through the one-stop portal here in the state of Delaware, you're able to check the box at the end of that process and identify your race, ethnicity, and your gender and veteran status. So all of it is all inclusive, right? Because there are challenges for women in business. There are challenges with the veterans as well. They all need resources. So we want to tap in and make sure it's inclusive for all.
If you don't know who someone is, you don't know if they're not at the table at all.
Exactly. How can we know what resources and tools that's needed if we can't identify the businesses, right? So it's super important. And we're off to a great start that just got implemented September 2022. So we're like 1 year in for this initiative, and we're super proud of our advocacy in this area.
You, of course, with your background as a consultant, and of course, you're at Dell Tech and you teach grant writing. So you're used to the startup businesses. Are your members actually ready to join a chamber of commerce when they launch?
Yeah. So even if your business is in ideation and you're just thinking, okay, maybe I want to start a business, we help you at that point, giving you the checklist and the resources that you need to just launch launched a business, making sure that you are registered as a legal entity here in the state of Delaware. So anyone can join a chamber of commerce, even if the business is not quite off the ground yet.
Well, we forget that people who are not actual business people or entrepreneurs join to have access to the membership. This is a great way of networking and discovering potential partnerships there. But so you start with a very grassroots idea almost. You're starting with someone who maybe hasn't even launched yet.
Yes, correct. You know, there are folks that, you know, that think, okay, I want to start a business, but I just don't know how. We look at small businesses as a means to bridge the wealth gap in the African American community. So we definitely encourage small business ownership and having an entity that you can pass on for possibly generations, right? So we definitely support it. So when you come to us and you say, hey, I have a foundation, but I don't know where to start. We will definitely hold your hand and get you through the different points of starting and growing that business.
How many members do you have now?
As of today, we have about 630 members and growing.
Did you see that it would grow this rapidly?
Did not foresee that. Will not have guessed that. I know it was definitely a need just from being a small business owner myself and being involved in the chamber community here in the state. I definitely knew there was a need for an organization like this, but the community definitely stepped up and embraced this. And they were basically hungry for the tools and resources that we were provided, the services that we were providing to them, that they were missing, they were not getting prior.
You're a businesswoman.
Yes, I
Well,
am.
so you saw this need, and what was the need that meant that was distinct to your clientele, to the Black or minority business person? What was lacking?
Yeah, so the chamber is really an extension. I see it as an extension to my small business. So I started Con Consulting LLC in 2015 after being laid off from my own corporate job, and I decided, okay, I'm gonna go into business, work for myself, of course, so I don't have to go through that awful transition again in corporate America. So basically, my services were providing small businesses, nonprofits, and for-profit businesses with the tools that they need, anything from business plan writing, strategic planning, board training, writing bylaws, writing grants, doing grant research, all those things to help a business grow, whether it's for profit or nonprofit. I have joined and been involved with other chambers in our state for specifically. I sat on the board of one of them. So I knew firsthand what the challenges were. But then the pandemic hit and kind of highlighted those challenges. And the pandemic was really an exercise in documents. Right. So it highlighted that a lot of our small and micro businesses did not have their paperwork in order. So I literally became the change that I wanted to see. So we stepped in and provided technical assistance, that hand-holding piece. And we helped a lot of those businesses get the pandemic relief that they needed to help keep their doors open. And we helped 127 businesses get over $2 million in funding through the CARES Act funds through the federal government and the state of Delaware. And we did the same thing for PPP. So it's just really an extension of what I was doing as a small business owner, as a consultant. And I still do consult on the side. I don't take as many clients on, you know, 1 to 2 clients possibly a year, because the chamber has consumed my life. I'm obsessed. So, I'm still doing that work. There's still a need for it, and in all capacities, for profit and nonprofit. And it's not just for Black-owned businesses. It's for any business, because it's hard. It's hard to start a business. It's not for the faint of heart. There's a lot of challenges that you can encounter. So we want to continue to be a vital hub in connecting businesses with the resources and the assistance that they need.
You mentioned that you leave a corporate job and you strike out on your own, and that means self-determination.
Oh yeah. I mean, I am resilient. If you know anything about me, I go after what I want. And once I make up my mind about something, I get it done. I mean, I'm a Taurus, so, and I'm also a woman, so.
Do you have a lot of women or minority women in getting
Yes, the
involved here?
largest demographic of entrepreneurs are Black women. Largest growing demographic in the country. So a lot of women are opening businesses, are starting businesses, are creating these innovative ideas that are helping their communities and just off of po possibly a passion or a situation or a personal situation that they have capitalized on. And I'm all for it. Like, go for it. When you see a need, I'm living proof. When there is a need, just go for it.
Now, during COVID, it was Black women, I think, were impacted the worst as far as losing jobs.
I am not sure on the stats on the data on who lost the jobs the most during the pandemic, but I definitely know small businesses were closing at a 41% rate.
When someone opens a business and it is out of their own kitchen, you do have that problem with, and you mentioned it, paperwork and licenses, and before they can even get in the door, you might be making the best skin lotion that has ever happened, but if it's coming out of your home, you're not going to be able to push out enough product or have the licensing and the paperwork to sell to some places.
Yeah. So for that, we definitely encourage partnerships, partnering, seeing if there's a manufacturer that you can work with, definitely seeing if there's any win-win situations for in-kind opportunities, partnering with local and state government, and or even partnering with other businesses that are like yours that have gone through the process that can mentor you and say, hey, here's the cheat code. Here's what you need to do. This is how you do it. Rather than taking the hard road, if they can provide their expertise and advice, it helps. So it's not easy. There's a lot of moving parts that go into it. And like I said, it really takes a village to grow a business.
The hoops that you have to pass through just to get your name on the list to be even asked to apply as a supplier or as a contractor or as a provider.
Yes, absolutely. So we definitely encourage our members to become certified with the state, with the federal government. We do a series with the state and the feds on how to become certified, how to do business with the state, how to do business with the feds. So we definitely encourage that. I have completed several of those applications on behalf of our members as well, and have submitted on their behalf as well. So we're here to, provide that type of assistance because it is a lot. And when you have a business owner, that's one individual that's working, in the business, it's hard to work on the business, right? And work on all the things in the back. So that's where we come in. We provide that support. We have a lot of other community partners that we can pair our businesses up with, like SCORE, and they provide mentors as well to help with the process.
I do a lot of tours, obviously. I meet a lot of kids, and I would say, well, what do you want to be? Today, I have 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds saying, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Are they prepared? And how young are they when they get started?
You can get started pretty early. There are kids that are creating like rubber band bracelets or lemonade stands and selling it in their neighborhoods. So there's no age limit on entrepreneurship. Once you get bit by that bug, I say go for it. I encourage parents to always hone in on that, passion or that fire when they see it within their children and help foster that interest because that could be the next big, Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos or someone like that. So I love when the young people are interested in entrepreneurship. Like I said, it is the means to get that beautiful home and that fancy car and all the things that they see on social media. You have unlimited earning potential, whereas with a job or a corporation, depending on your industry, it may not be that way.
As you alluded to it, it's that self-determination. You're no longer looking at somebody else deciding, yes, you will be employed tomorrow and have a paycheck. Here you have that ability to do what you want to do.
Correct. It's that sense of freedom. You are in control of your own destiny. You're in control of your own earning potential. You can go as far as you want to go. You control your time, and you're not a slave to anyone's time and processes and procedures, but your own. And it just makes it even more sweeter as you build your success and your growth.
Well, since you're seeing so many startups, do you have to give them that terrible talk that this idea maybe is a little harebrained or you're not ready yet? How do you couch that conversation?
Yeah, well, I definitely don't kill anyone's dreams, but I know for some, I definitely provide recommendations. Even in the grant writing space, everyone wants $1 million, but they're not quite ready. They're not quite grant ready. So sometimes those conversations are necessary. Like, you need to get grant ready. Here's your checklist. Get your ducks in a row and come see me when you have all these things. So sometimes that conversation is necessary. And it could take a couple months. It could take up to a year. I've seen for folks to get, all their things in order to proceed to move forward.
But that applies also to a business plan, trying to get a loan, incorporating, getting your state recognition.
I mean, that's the easy part. I mean, here in the state of Delaware, we're the incorporation capital of the world. It's pretty easy here to get incorporated, which is what I love about the state of Delaware. So that's the easy part, getting all the other things. So where you're going to have to really sit down and say, hey, okay, I need to do all these things. I need to get this business plan. This is the blueprint for my business. I need to find out how to access capital to grow this business, because you're in business to make money and to grow. So you have to do all those things that are necessary.
How do you break through to the companies, the corporations, the big chains that might buy your product or put it in the, on their shelves?
Well, we have the great thing about the Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce, we have a lot of great connections. So we have helped several of our businesses get into ShopRite through introduction through Chris Kenny and the Kenny family that owns ShopRite here in the state of Delaware. We've been instrumental in that. And I always let them know, hey, you're definitely going to need labels. You're definitely going to want to have at least a trademark or patent pending on your products. And we made those introductions, and we're proud to report that there have been a few success stories where those folks are in stores. We worked with corporations. We have a minority supplier diversity program here. So we introduced those corporations to these small and micro businesses to let them know, this is what we're buying. This is what we're seeking, whether it's an HR person, an accountant, or lawn care or janitorial services, whatever the case may be. This is what they're looking for. And these are the things that you need to have in place to secure one of these contract opportunities. So we have those partnerships and we have those programs that we offer through the Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce.
Do you want to talk about the programs that you have? When someone first come to you and they apply for membership, what are the resources that are available to them?
Oh, so we have, like I mentioned before, we have mentorship opportunities through SCORE, and that is a group of retired CEOs that volunteer their time to work with small businesses. We provide opportunities through the federal government, through our SBA series on contracting and doing business with the feds. We have the same opportunities with the state of Delaware. We have our flagship program, which is called Enrich Delaware. That is also pending trademark right now because we're going to hold that name close to our chest. We're super proud of this program. It is a national curriculum that we did bring here to Delaware for, the first time. And it's 7 months. And it is anything from leadership, marketing, finances, take a deep dive into the financials. And we're on our third cohort currently, and next year for 2024, we have been approved to offer it in Spanish. So we'll be offering that curriculum to this Hispanic demographic here in the state of Delaware. We have our, consulting services that we offer through accounting, HR. We have all those tools, everything that the business needs to start and grow. You could get a list of all our membership benefits at DEBCC.org.
Who should consider joining?
Anyone that has a business. Nonprofits are business too. So anyone that has a business or an idea, they're welcome to join. We have a student membership as well for the young folks that are interested in entrepreneurship. They could possibly work, shadow, volunteer with a small business and, tap into that passion that they may have. We have a membership, a friend of the chamber membership. Even if you don't have a business and you may just have you may be retired or you may have another corporate position and you want to support, we encourage those individuals to join as well. So really anyone.
And again, you don't have to be a for-profit. You can be a nonprofit. You can be an individual or a big business. People from other states can join as well, correct?
Absolutely. We have members anywhere in New York, PA, New Jersey, South Carolina. We have a member in Cali. We have members everywhere. So we have national resources as well because we're under the National Black Chamber Network, so which is over 100,000 individuals that you can tap into for resources. So definitely, you can be located anywhere.
And with membership booming like this, and you want to brag a little bit about that? You were Chamber of the Year for 23.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So we were honored and awarded the Best Chamber of the Year 2023 through the National Black Chamber of Commerce. There are over 200 Black chambers throughout the country, and we were honored, and we're definitely super grateful for that honor. But it really shows the impact that we've made in such a short time, in 3 years, and our commitment to small businesses, specifically Black businesses, and just setting a new standard for the chamber community. This award really is for our community. We could not have done it without our partners and our members, most importantly. So our members make it all possible for trusting us with their business. Oh, I found out that I will be inducted into the Delaware's Hall of Fame, which is a really prestigious recognition and award here in the state of Delaware. So I'm super proud of that. But it's, again, it's just a testament to our community, to the support here. Delaware is like a small town, and just the fact that the community embraced us, it's exciting. We have been sort of an example to others, and we might be having other ethnic groups and racial groups starting chambers here in the state of Delaware. So we're not going to be the only minority chamber.
They're going to reap the benefits of your advocacy at the beginning to get them recognized to begin with.
Yes. So we're excited about that. We love to see the diversity.
And what do you see now for the future?
The future is bright for us. We're going to continue with the advocacy, of course. We're going to continue to grow our membership to achieve our goals, to really count on our members to be active participants and to provide their insights, and just continuing to serve the small business community. We do a lot of networking, monthly networking mixers, quarterly networking mixers downstate, and we just wrapped up our third annual gala fundraiser at the DuPont Country Club, and it was fabulous. And it's our largest fundraiser of the year, and it was super successful with silent auction and donations, as well as dinner and dancing. It was an amazing event. Our sponsors made it all possible. We were able to offer open bar all night, and we just had a really good time raising funds for us to continue our mission.
Parting words?
You can learn more about the Delaware Black Chamber of Commerce at www.debcc.org. and we have a contact you form there. Our email and phone number is located on the website. Reach out at any time. We would love to have you as part of our membership and as part of this family.
Learn more about the programming that you offer and the next cohort of Enrich DE as well, all at debcc.org. My guest today, writer and founding president and CEO of the Black Chamber of Commerce, Ayanna Khan. Thank you for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.